And we'll just get started. Boom. We are live. What's up?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Yo, I had like 10 people say yes, and then. Anyways, what's up, Lewis?
Not much, brother. What's going on with you?
Not much, man. How are you?
Yeah, man. Enjoying life, dude. How about yourself? You got a lot of good things going on?
Things are going okay. Just had our rental management company tell me that another one of our ACs looks like they went out. That'd be number 3 in like 2 months.
That's always fun.
That sucks, dude. So yeah. We'll see. Hopefully everything will be good because those are obviously not cheap. But enough about me. I know that you got some stuff that you want to chat about today. If you don't mind, tell everyone, I guess first, who you are, what you do, how you do it, and all that good stuff.
Thank you, Ruben. My name is Lewis Leyva. I've been in real estate a little bit before 2003. That's actually when I got licensed in 2003. So that makes me officially 2 full decades in this business with a license. Before that, I always wanted to get into real estate, even as a teenager. If you would have asked me what I wanted to do when I grew up, I would have told you that I wanted to fix houses, make them look nice, and then sell them. Because that came from a need that was never really fulfilled in my family. Growing up, we never had a home to call our own. We always would rent apartments, and we always seemed to move every year. Year after year, I seemed like a new apartment. And I always thought to myself, like, why can't we get a house like, you know, other families? And my friends had houses, and we just always were doing the apartment hopping game. So eventually, I looked up to real estate agents as them being almost like superheroes, like people who were like above like normal status, who would help people's dreams come true. And I told my dad when I turned 18, I was like, hey, I'm an adult now. Could you take me to see a real estate agent? Maybe I can buy a house. And at
Yo, you're frozen. The day is fun. All right. I'm frozen. There we go. Look. Let's see if he jumps back on. Technical difficulties, because he's gonna, do you know, all right, so what's a great way that we can find listings that aren't on the market? You obviously showed up here today to learn about that, but Lewis is frozen. Do you have anything? Prospecting around other listings. What would that look like?
So like sending letters
to go out for sale within those 10
in the next couple months.
Dang. Okay, so a 10 by 10 by 20.
Sure.
Yeah. 10 by 10 by 20. He says he's kicked out. I said, link is sent to your Facebook. Your Facebook Messenger. Sorry, guys, but this is kind of part of it, I guess. This doesn't happen often. Probably one out of, when's the last time this has happened where someone got kicked out? Never. The answer is never. So this never happens, but here we are. I did send him the link. He should be coming back here shortly. And then you know what we're going to do? We're just going to jump right into it. But let me know if you do a 10 by 10 by 20. We used to do a 5 by 5 by 10. So she's obviously crushing that. Cold leads being a 50-to-1 conversion puts you in a better place if you're doing a 20 to 20 or a 10 by 10 by 20. Check there and click the. I mean, if anything, I know this might hurt some of y'all, but we might reschedule. I'm in backstage, she says. Let's see. Nope. All right, how long should I give this till I jump till we reschedule? Backstage. I don't see you, man. Dang. Because I don't want to waste anyone's time either, you know? Well, what questions do you have, everyone that's jumping on or jumping on later, that maybe I can answer? Could obviously be random. it doesn't even matter at this point what questions you might have. Just ask my internet. Oh yeah, look. Oh, hold on. I'm not gonna show you this number. My internet went out. SMH. You know what we used to say SMH means? Because of course that's an acronym, right? If you're not able to hit the results that you want to hit, we used to say SMH or shake my head, right? Like, ha ha ha, shake my head. But the first thing we would look at, and then I'll just reschedule on this. He must have spectrum. Oh, there he goes. Oh, he's back on. Anyways, the S, should I say it or should it be a cliffhanger? Let's leave it for a cliffhanger till next time. What's up, man? How are you?
What's up, brother? Yeah, man, I got to jump on that Starlink, man. I don't know what's going on here in Naples.
They said you must have spectrum.
Maybe. I've always been told I was on the spectrum, but I don't know about spectrum.
That's hilarious, dude. All right, so let's just jump into it, man. Just
yeah.
Obviously, you're going to talk about what you're going to talk about. Tell everyone what you're going to talk about, and then just jump right in.
Absolutely, guys. So thank you. Investing for me in real estate has always been a passion. And fast forward to today, things have changed a lot. What worked in the post real estate bubble does maybe not work anymore, or maybe does not give you the same results as it used to. So I'm always the kind of guy that I found if the more research I do before I do something, the better, because I kind of figure out what works for other people. And I start to do more research into those areas because it saves you a lot of time, right? Like even Tony Robbins says, like, if you want to get there fast, you go with other people, or you can ask other people, so they can give you shortcuts on what's worked and what hasn't worked. So what I've been finding is that I used to do a lot of prospecting, and we used to do a lot of outbound calls, text messages, and things like that. And those were easy, right? But the thing is that who are you calling, right? Because it doesn't matter that you call, because when we started calling the yellow book when we didn't know any better, and we would get hung up on and cursed out left and right because there was no rhyme or reason for those people to do business. So we started calling distressed homeowners. We started calling people going into foreclosure, short sales, and the sheriff sales and those things. And they worked tremendously. But now everybody's got equity in their home. So now when you're calling these people, there's no response, or it's not the same response. So how do you get business now? So I've been working on this, and I'm explaining to you guys what's been working for myself and what's been working for other investors, wholesalers, and real estate agents. So let's get started with this real quick. Right now, one thing that I've been doing that I did when I first got into real estate is driving for dollars, right? I took a long time off from doing this method. And the reason why I'm doing this method now, more specifically where I live, is because we suffered a big hurricane. So there's a lot of homes that still haven't been repaired from that hurricane. So what I've been doing is going into the neighborhoods that I feel are up and coming, not so much the ones that are already established, because there's a lot of times there's limited opportunities there, but the ones that are next in line to be hot or expensive, you go into those neighborhoods and you start to look around at the homes that are still dilapidated, the homes that still haven't been fixed up. So what I've done is I came up with this system where I drive the neighborhoods. I've created this form on Google. I'll share with you guys in just a second. I've created this Google form where I just go in, I type in the address, and I hit submit, and then it goes to a spreadsheet automatically. And then my VA gets alerted whenever I input data. And then she goes on the back end and she scrubs the address for the owner's name, the mailing address, if it's different from the homeowner's address, and she scrubs for the phone numbers too. So then what we do is we compile anywhere between 20 to 50 properties that day, mostly every day, try to do it 5 days a week. So by the end of the week, we've got a whole batch of new people to follow up with. But the beauty of this process is that it's not a one and done. Like a lot of people, you know, they hope to get results on the first try to do, the first time they do something. This is a compounding type of way to get business coming in, because every week that you're adding new data, you're adding these people to your follow-up system, which eventually over time, if you keep doing it in the same areas or in the same town or wherever you want to do business in, eventually those people who you're marketing to every month or calling on a monthly basis, they're going to start to turn. And once one turns, the second turns, and you build a name for yourself, they see all your signs, and you start to get more business. So I've now come to see that over quantity, now quality is really mattering the most. And it's going to take you a little bit more time to maybe take this approach on, but I guarantee you it's going to pay off big time for a few reasons. Number one, because you're going very super hyper-targeted. to homes that you specifically would want as an investor. Even if you're a real estate agent, you could do this method as well, because those are motivated sellers most times. Next, you're going to also want to go out there in person and knock these doors, drive these properties, because you get to meet a lot of the locals. I've had conversations with people working on homes. I've had conversations with neighbors, with homeowners. I've had conversations with someone who told me that the guy next door wants to sell. And, you know, it's just everything in between. Either mailman, anybody who you run into while you're walking around, start a conversation with them. If you're the kind of person who says, well, I don't know what to say, or how do I break the ice, or, you know, I'm shy, I don't know how to approach someone. Well, listen, you have to learn how to do that. That's number one. That's key. If you want to be in business in real estate, you have to learn at least one icebreaker. Like, hey, how's it going? Good. Well, great. Hey, my name is Lewis. I'm just walking this neighborhood because I was interested in buying a house. Do you know anyone that's maybe thinking about selling anytime soon? Simple as that. As you get more comfortable, you come up with other icebreakers. You role play this at home. You role play it with your spouse or maybe somebody in your group, and you start to get better at it, more comfortable. So it makes you a more sociable person at the same time. So that's an approach that you guys are probably overlooking. I know I was for many years, but it's working. Now, let me show you what...
Real quick question. Yeah. How many people do you find that you need to talk to until there's some type of business, some type of conversation that goes towards business? Now, I understand follow-up, right? You get to know them, and then there's a follow-up game to it. Sure. But how many people do you reach out to or talk to initially that there's that? I talk to 10, 15 people before I get my first active business now business.
Great question. Can I share my screen?
Yeah, just...
I got it.
You should have... All right, and then once I see it pop up here, I'll let you do it. So, you want to share your Google thing?
Yeah, I think it was asking me for permission. Let me see. Use password. Leave a
text. Oh, don't say your password. Look, I know your password now.
That's fine. All right. Can you see my screen or not?
No, not yet. Oh, so not yet. At the bottom, you'll see present. You see the bottom, it says present.
Yeah.
Click that, and then you'll be able to add something that you want to share, and then I'll share it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to do that. Let me see if I can do it again. It's saying the permissions are not there for some reason.
What?
Yeah, that's okay. Let me see if I can do it again. Screen sharing was canceled. Make sure you click share on the mode. Okay. Yeah, that's what I did. Share screen.
Dude, what's up? You got some stuff going on your side, man.
I know, man. Share. Go to system preferences. Okay.
We've done two videos prior to this and it had zero issues last time.
Yeah. Let me see if I can get to one this time. Okay. I think I got it now.
Okay.
I would like to be able to record the contents on your screen. Okay.
You must have some like crazy security going on.
Yeah. I hope not. I mean, it's just typical Apple security, but let's see if I could do it now.
That's the issue.
No.
Yeah, Apple.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah. All right. This HP running clean over here.
Yeah, you know what? I never have a problem sharing with Zoom. I'm just in a StreamYard for some reason right now. I'm trying to see if I can give it permission. Yeah, well, let me just cut to the chase and explain to you guys what it is that what I'm doing. I'm going to take a screenshot and then I'm going to upload it so that way you guys can see.
Okay, you can also send it. You can also email it to me real quick while you're chatting about it, and then I will bring it up if needed.
Okay, yeah, let's do that. Let me share this with you.
Okie doke. So what's up, everybody?
Email address is Ruben.
Proven by Ruben. Come on, man.
Got it right here.
But yeah, for anybody who's listening and was in the cliffhanger, I'll go ahead and talk about SMH while he sends this to me. The S, if you're not getting the results you want to get, we used to run an SMH, right? Of course, it's an acronym, or shake my head. The S is skills. You may need to do better with your skills, like he was just talking about, you know, where you just approaching people and practicing and getting better with your skills might be part of that. The M is the mindset. You might be in your own head about something before you even take action on something. And that's where you may need to bring in someone like me or Jennifer that says, yo, check yourself from the neck up, right? And like just shakes you a little bit and says, get out there, get it done, or whatever. Maybe you got affirmations in the morning. And then the H is habits. Maybe your habits suck, right? Like your daily habits just suck. And what it's doing is burning you out or putting you in a place where you can't necessarily, boom, I got it, where you can't get to it, right? You can't go, oh, Lord, this is a sheet. All right, give me a second. I'm going to share this with everybody. You might want to stick around. Give me 1 second. Present. Share screen. Here we go. What is this one called? Target something?
You know what's funny about it? I think I could share my screen.
Of course you can. All right, boom. Well, I shared it for everyone. Go ahead, dude.
All right, let me show you something. So if we scroll down, let's see if you can go to where it says phone numbers. You see the tab downstairs, down at the bottom, it says phone numbers? Yeah. So this is the list that's been scrubbed by my VA, who then goes in and gives me the mailing addresses if they're different from the regular home address. And then she also gets me the phone number. So you see phone number 1, 2, and 3. And then in the middle, I inserted this column that says result. So it's either no answer, dead, 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 no answer, warm, warm, warm. So this morning, if you scroll down right before this call, I jumped into a calling session with a couple of my agents, and we made some calls for an hour. So if you scroll down to where, keep going, I'll tell you when to stop. Okay. All right. Right there. Go up again. Okay. So right here where you see the last few, where it says no answer, no answer, no answer. So that is number 91. So when I started making calls this morning, scroll back up. I started making calls somewhere around like number 7, right? You can stop right there. I started making calls somewhere around 70. So I made about 20 calls, and these are all calls one by one, not even using a dialer, just one by one, because remember, these are hyper-targeted leads. And if you click on the one that says hot, you see the number 89 or 88 or 80? Yeah. Click on that one. You should be able to read the notes. If you click on it, there's on the corner right where it says hot. You see where it says hot? Click on there. Maybe click right outside the bubble. You don't have the permission. Let me see if I can share my screen now. No, it went away. I had the opportunity to share it before, but now it went away. So that one right there, the one that says hot, that person wants to sell their house. That person told me this morning, yes, I will accept an offer. The house has been hit by the hurricane. I haven't been able to fully renovate it yet. I'm living somewhere else. So that's a motivated seller. So out of these people that I've called, 20 calls or so this morning that I made, or, you know, 20 addresses that I called, some of them have 2 numbers, 3 numbers, 1 number. Out of these calls that I made this morning, it took me 1 hour. I've got someone who's motivated. You know, that's a pretty good ROI. Even if I get one a week after making 5 hours of calls, that's still a very good ROI, because on any one of these deals, even if you end up wholesaling it for 5 or 10K, yeah, it's a pretty good turnaround. But you know that in a lot of these deals, you can most likely make a lot more, even if it's just the regular listing that you get out of it, or if you end up buying it, renovating it, and selling it, or keeping it as a rental, whatever you're out to do, this is a very effective way of doing it. Now, what I want you to do, Roop, is click on the first tab all the way at the bottom. So this is what the list looks like when it first comes in. As I'm plugging away on the form that I created on Google Forms, the information gets sent right to this list. This is the raw information that comes in. And then she goes in and starts doing the research from there. And then from there, we do other things with the data. But this is something, and you can stop sharing now, and I'll go on to the next thing. This is something that anybody could do. You don't need a budget. You don't need a VA. I just say I do it with a VA because it's more of a streamlined process for me. This is something that anybody who just got started or wants to get started or has zero money to invest in their real estate business or investing business, they can go out there and do today. There's no fancy software you need, no fancy scripts that you need, no coaching, nothing. You just go out there and you start shaking hands and taking down addresses. And it works, believe me. So right now, we're getting into a time where you need to put in more sweat equity than marketing on Zillow. That's a little tough, you know, it's right now, especially if it's so cost prohibitive for a lot of people. You can't just wait for deals to fall in your lap because they're not falling in your lap. So you need to go out there and start making things happen. So yeah, Rube, what do you think about that before I move on to the next thing? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I think for somebody who is maybe running into some challenges with listings and sees that, that may feel like it's very overwhelming. Where do you get that list, number one?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you get that list?
That list is compiled by me driving around and just plugging in the addresses, but then the data, we scrub it on. You can use any data source. There's a lot of data sources out there. PropStream is one of them. You can use your MLS. Yep. You can use Batch Leads. There's so many different places you can use. I'm not here to tell you the one's better than the other, but do your research. You know, whatever, you know, maybe if you have a mentor, ask your mentor what service you use.
So you got and list sources out there too. If you have any affiliate links, Lewis, just throw in the comments and we'll make sure you get paid a little bit. But that's a really good thing, right? And then so you bring it in there and you're saying, hey, listen, you could be the one reaching out to these people. And if I go back to your document, actually, let me just go back to it. It looks as if, let me go to phone numbers. You said you started around 70. So that's one, or we got 70. So what's that, 21 calls?
Yeah.
So yeah,
21 addresses.
Right. And you, so 20 to one, essentially, and 20 to one, if people don't know, is a very good conversion. And that's what you see conversions for warm leads, people who do know you, trust you, love you, all that stuff. So it sounds like it's a really good thing. So how do you know what locations to, you know, drive for dollars? How do you know which locations to go to and could be possibly someone who would be interested in selling?
Sure. Well, Rube, it's only 20 to one because I targeted a very specific type of homeowner who I feel is in a position to sell. Now, I chose that area, and you can choose any area you want. Don't let me deter you. If you want to break into a luxury market, it's just going to take you longer. But I go into areas that are next to luxury markets or next to high demand areas that are next in line to kind of convert. So wherever that is for you guys, like if you're in DC, right outside the DC area, whatever, where I don't know what your locations might be, but what I would do is I would look at data, see where the most turnover is. You know, you can do that by looking at your MLS and you can see where the most sales take place. Usually in those areas where they see the highest amount of sales take place is probably the areas they're going to have more conversion, more people willing to sell. So you could do some research on that. Or if you're just passionate about making sure every one of your neighbors in a 5-block radius knows you're an agent, you can just do those. You could do those blocks or a mile radius from your house. You can make sure you convert everyone who's going to sell in your perimeter. I mean, it really is no wrong area, but they're all going to convert differently. Like I said in the beginning, when I used to call it a yellow book, when we knew no better, our conversion wasn't 20 to 1. It was probably like 2,000 to 1 probably if we would have kept calling. But you wear yourself out. If you don't do the research about the areas and the targeted homes you want to call first or door knock first or send flyers to first, you're just going to end up burning yourself out with too much of the same thing with no result, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I didn't realize you were that old doing Yellow Pages.
It wasn't Yellow Pages. It was yellowpages.com. So, see, I'm not that old.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Try to shift. Uh-huh. We have a question. What about pre-foreclosures?
Yeah, pre-foreclosures used to be my bread and butter. As a matter of fact, I did a lot of training for auction.com and taught thousands of investors how to purchase from auction.com and how to purchase at auctions. These are always going to be good. But the key to these are either your first or your last to call them. So that means is that when you're going to pull that data, you want to make sure that that data is super fresh. So like to say, like you want to call everyone from the last 30 days who has gotten served a list pendants notice, right? List pendants means that they form a complaint for foreclosure. You call them or you check the sheriff's sales or trustee sales, depending what state you're in. You check to see what's scheduled. And then you call those people because, you know, maybe they've been ignoring everyone's calls and they've been kind of ducking everyone who's been offering them assistance. But now that they've gotten a letter from the court or the county, maybe now they'll take someone seriously. So you're going to want to either be first or you're going to want to be last on those. But don't let me discourage you. Call everyone or email everyone or send flyers to everyone. As long as you make sure you're in compliance with what you're doing, there are no bad leads as long as you know what to expect. So if you're going to call FSBOs, you're going to have to expect one thing. You're going to call pre-foreclosures, you expect a total different turnout. But they all work. You just got to be consistent. That's the key.
Yeah, I agree. And if you feel like you're not going to be in compliance, just get someone else to do it for you. So anyways, what other strategy you got, man? And then throw one more at us.
Okay.
And then we'll wrap it up after that. But you're killing it, dude. Sure. Keep going.
All right. So let me give you something else. So, all right. This is one that's worked for me recently, and I'm going to share it with you. And I never thought I'd be sharing this because I was so against it always. The MLS. If someone lists their home on the MLS, it's because they're interested in selling, obviously, right? So I've always told investors in the past, there's no deals on the MLS. If it's on the MLS, you're going to get too much competition. Don't even bother wasting your time there. Very true in the past. There were better places to get deals. Nowadays, the MLS might be a spot to get a deal which you never really thought it could be a deal before. So what I've been doing in the last few months is I've been getting my virtual assistant to send out mass offers. So what I do is I create another spreadsheet. And on that spreadsheet, what I do is I download, you can do it right from the MLS. You can download all the properties that you want to make offers on as a CSV file. You can download that data. And then you can upload it into your own custom spreadsheet or just create a spreadsheet out of the data you downloaded. And then you can have your VA go in there and scrub for, you can go your VA in there and start preparing the offers. Because what you do with that data is, let's just say we downloaded 50 properties today from the MLS, homes that either just hit the market that you think have some potential or homes that have been on the market for 60, 90, 100 days plus. You download that and then you create a column to the right of it where you put down how much you want to offer on those homes. I can't tell you how much to offer. Usually for me, the sweet spot somewhere between 60, 65% of the after repair value. Maybe not what it's listed for, but the after repair value. Those are two big different numbers. Okay, don't get it confused. The after repair value, 60, 65% of that number is usually what I offer. So I put that into the spreadsheet and then she goes back in and she writes up 50 offers and sends them to the agents. And she communicates with the agents and then she puts the notes back into each one of the cells, which says what the agent responded with. Some agents say, no way, Jose. Some agents say, I'll present your offer. Some agents say, there's a counter. And then once in a while, you get someone who says, when do you want to close? You know, so we were able to get a couple of deals for myself and for some of my investors in the last few months doing this method. So just like anything else, guys, if you do enough of it, it'll work. But if you just send one, the chances of it working. Not very high at all.
I was just going to ask a quick question. Do you find that you start to, and maybe you're not, I just want to ask this question, burn bridges from agents who are getting hit by your low ball offers? And then, I mean, in a good way, I say low ball offers in a good way for your investors and for yourself. But do you find the heat sometimes like, man, all he does is ask for these lower, or do you set the expectation like, hey, this is for an investor and then ask for it? What does that look like?
Sure. Listen, I believe that everything is in the presentation. So if you, your bedside manner, call it, if you give somebody bad news with good bedside manner, they may not see it as bad news. Or if you give somebody great news with terrible bedside manner, they might be like, that doesn't sound like good news to me, right? So it just depends on your presentation. So if you're gonna train your VA, or you're gonna do it, most likely a lot of people watching this are gonna do it themselves. What you want to do is you kind of want to set the tone and say, listen, I know my offer may be low, but it, just in the event that your seller is in a position where you want to sell quickly, I'm submitting this offer to you on behalf of my investor, on behalf of myself, or whatever. This is where I can make the deal work. If it doesn't work for you and the seller, I totally get it. No harm, no foul. Now, if you want to do it that way, some people they'll never know it's you because maybe you're okay with giving the listing agent the both sides of the deal. That sometimes helps. You can just tell them, look, we want to make an offer. You can have your VA do it if you want to do it anonymously. Or you can have a partner of yours do it. If you want to keep your name anonymous, you want to keep yourself, you know, if you're worried that you might tarnish your reputation, I don't see how, because at the end of the day, it's just business. It's not personal. If any other real estate agent takes it personal, like, oh my God, you've offended me for submitting an offer on my house that's been sitting on the market for 100 days. You know, I wouldn't be mad personally. I don't know about you, Ruben, but I'd be like, you know what? Good try, but I don't think this one would work. I've already had offers that are higher than that. They've turned it down. No problem. And then you just be cordial. You just move on to the next one.
I love it, man. I love it. And I love your more logical approach to it, which, by the way, you know, if I were an agent that hasn't had any showings, no appointments, no nothing, this home has just been sitting, what you've done is just given me some good information I can send back to the seller, right? Like, we do have someone who's interested, you know, it hasn't just been sitting here for years. So, yeah, no, I get it. I just want to ask that question. Yeah. So, yeah, keep it going.
You would be, you'd be surprised. Sometimes homes aren't that far off. Like, for instance, like I said, remember, it's 65% of after repair value. So let's just say a house that's $300,000. 60 to 65% of after repair value is somewhere around like 180 to 200. Sometimes those homes are listed for like 230 or 240. So you're close. It's not that big off, a big number off. And if it makes you feel any better, you can always explain your email. Hey, I feel that the after repair value is about 300. To keep my margins safe, I need to come in at about 65% ARV. So that way my offer would have to be this. If you feel like you need to justify your offer, you know, that's if you want to, you know, not just come in as like, oh, we just make mass offers and we see what sticks. You know, if you want to take the time to do something like that, that's fine as well.
Yeah, man, I love that. You gave, you know, basically how to find off-market deals, driving for dollars, and how to do it systematically with a system, reaching out, conversion 21 to 1, but you were very specific on what you were looking for. So it sounds like, you know, obviously you get very specific on location, what type of property and all that. So that what you are homing. And wholesalers are right now are like, duh, I know this game. But for agents who are looking also, you know, maybe take a book out of the wholesale play and do that, right? I mean, you just proved through your sheet you had a 21 to 1 conversion, which is great. Yeah. And then the other side, you showed how to find them on the market. Obviously looking again specific properties and staying very diligent about your strategy, but I love it, man. You had both off market and on market strategy. I love it. You did good.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Do you have any other questions? Anybody have any questions? This is your time to ask. I got someone saying that they're from this. You wouldn't know this, but from Bladen County and would love to talk. They do title searches in 7 counties and can help. So there you go. Get out there, guys. Make some connections because they're here as well. Anybody that you see like this video, probably reach out to them. There's a reason why they liked it. They like the information. And then great info from a Facebook user. Anything else you want to throw at us? Before you head on out.
Yeah, sure. The last thing you guys want to keep in mind is name of the game is follow-up. It's not one and done. Follow-up is best by phone calls. That's the number one way to do it. But don't disregard sending in automated flyers that go out on your behalf every month. Because what better feeling, and Rumi, you can probably attest to this, what better feeling than you driving down the street, minding your business, listening to one of your favorite Taylor Swift songs, Ruben, and then you get a call from someone who got your flyer like 2 weeks ago and they want to sell the property, right? And that's marketing, right? That's marketing. But sometimes people just rely on one. So you have marketing and then you have prospecting. If you can marry the two with your follow-up, you will crush it. You will kill it, whether it's in sales or if it's in investing. So just keep that in mind. It's not one.
Yes, it is a mix. It's a blend, man. And we have one of our agents who do that very, very well. They were just on the podcast, the Agent Goldmine podcast, I believe. And they talked about this very thing and how they do it. And they're on vacation in Australia. But when they come back, that's something I want to pick their brain about. And maybe we bring them on to be more training about how he does that very thing that you were talking about. He crushes it with listings. So I appreciate it, man. I really do. Any question you have before I let you go, sir? And I love Taylor Swift, by the way.
Oh, I know you do. My daughter loves it. I'm a Swiftie too because of her. My question is, what's working for you, Ruben? I always pick the brain of a successful person, and I always learn from other people, whether they're brand new or if they're seasoned in the business. So what's working for you?
Yeah, if you need a successful person here, then I need to move. And I think Jennifer needs to take my spot.
Jennifer, take your spot.
Yeah. So, I mean, everyone's going to know what my answer is, which is a very boring answer, I guess you would say. But it's all data-based. It's always reaching out to my people and having that conversation. We have dived into something that you're doing or that you've done for a very long time on your YouTube channel, which is going very location-based around your location, meeting and talking to people. We started that. It's called Find Fayetteville. just finished one yesterday. Another one should come out today, and a real good one should come out next week. But that's been really good. We got one lead off of it so far with, 129 subscribers or something like that. So we just started it a few months ago. But that's going to be my other angle, is just delivering more value to our current community. And I think that's going to be good. But outside that, very old school, pragmatic systems with CRM status, reaching out to people, making sure their life's good. How can we help? All that stuff.
Yeah, the boring stuff.
Boring stuff, man. Boring stuff. It, what would you have? What's been working for you, Jennifer? And then we'll let them go. Partnerships. What do you mean by that? Investors. So about 90% of her business is relationships through partnerships with investors, and other referral partners who you know, obviously pass her deals, trust her in that process, and she goes out there and executes it.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because that was one of the topics on my notes that I didn't get a chance to get to, because it's not obviously as, it doesn't sound as like a sexier or appealing. But yeah, one of my investor friends told me that he's been getting most of his deals recently from just calling up other investors and seeing what they've got. And I'm like, so you're telling me networking is working number? He's like, yeah, I'm doing 5 or 6 deals a month just from that. I'm like, that's pretty good. Because a lot of these investors, they don't have a buyer to go with it. So calling up investors, guys. And if you don't have investors, there's so many out there. You can just comb Facebook groups and build up a list in no time.
Yeah. And then I'll leave on this. You know, I remember an agent who would reach out to other agents. You're talking about MLS play. They'd reach out to other agents and say, hey, listen, what client do you have that you absolutely hate? They're driving you crazy. They're driving you bonkers. You can't stand them. I will work with them and I'll give you a 20, 25, 30% referral fee. So you'll still get paid, but I'll take on the deal for you. So essentially, it's a doctor that gets rid of headaches, right? And that's how he's been able, this was years and years ago, but he was killing it doing that because, you know, obviously raise your hand if you dealt with a client you couldn't stand. Mm-hmm. I'm not the only one.
You've driven around for months and months and months with the same person. Yep, drives you crazy.
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't mesh well, and that's okay. So anyways, that's what he did. So, man, if someone could just take one of these tips and run with it, they're going to be A-okay this year. I'll say that. Yeah. Am I going to see you at EXPCon?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. I'll see you cool. Later. Awesome, dude. Awesome.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, man. Thank you. And if there's anything that we could do over here on the East Coast and North in the Carolinas, just let us know, man. I appreciate you jumping on.
Yeah, I appreciate you, brother.
You got it, man. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Boom.